What's up, sunshine? Welcome back. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I'm Coy Wire here with you so we can fuel our minds, dominate this week, and have a little bit of fun while doing it. Our lead story on CNN 10 today, the ongoing invasion of Ukraine. Friday marked 1 year since Russian President Vladimir Putin launched a large-scale attack of neighboring Ukraine. It's been a full year of destruction and loss of life. It's been a time where Ukraine has fought back, and its allies have come forward to penalize Russia with sanctions on their economy while sending millions of dollars in aid to Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has received international praise for his wartime leadership, but he has also been criticized. For one, he didn't warn Ukrainian citizens of the impending invasion ahead of time. Why? He says the decision prevented financial panic and that it better preserved Ukraine's economy in order to fund the fight against Russia. So, when might this war end? At a ceremony on Friday, which remembered a somber anniversary of events that are changing lives forever, Zelensky vowed to push for a Ukrainian victory in 2023. The day was full of commemorations, reflections, and tears, but Zelensky's tone remained strong, and he spoke of the country's resilience during Europe's largest and deadliest war since World War II.
Slava Ukraini!
His exchanges with Ukrainian soldiers on Friday were vintage Volodymyr Zelensky. Zelensky told his army they would be the ones to decide whether Ukraine will exist in the future or not. But 1 year after Russia's invasion, few doubt that Ukraine's fate hinges in no small part on the man who's emerged as an effective wartime leader.
The man has a spine. And obviously, when you are truly David fighting Goliath, if you don't have a spine, you lose.
12 months later, he is the hard-bitten leader. I mean, he has been through a year of trial like no other leader.
And from the first moments of the war, it seemed like Zelensky was up to the challenge. Like when he posted a video message on Facebook from the streets of Kyiv with his cabinet on the second night of the invasion.
The president is here. We are all here. Our military is here.
Volodymyr Zelensky has since dominated the narrative from a stirring appearance before a joint session of the U.S. Congress.
Ukraine is alive and kicking.
To what he said to the British House of Commons.
We will not give up and we will not lose. We will fight in the forests, in the fields, on the shores, on the streets.
Compare that to what Winston Churchill said after the evacuation of Dunkirk.
We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
He has successfully mimicked Winston Churchill himself. Volodymyr Zelensky has mobilized the United States of America.
Former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine William Taylor remembers Zelensky in the early months of his presidency as a good-natured, somewhat naive politician. How has the war changed Zelensky?
He's less jovial. He's less, he's more focused. He's more determined. He's more somber. I mean, this is a hard time to go through, and he's had it all on his shoulders.
Still, no one's been able to keep Volodymyr Zelensky from the front lines in places like Kherson and Bucha. Compare that to Vladimir Putin's isolation in the Kremlin.
He appears fearful. You just get the sense of a man alone, whereas Zelensky is among his people, among his team, and in the fight.
The analysts we spoke to say that unless Volodymyr Zelensky makes some colossal and unforeseen mistakes, his legacy will likely be very impressive. If Ukraine wins the war, he'll go down as one of the greatest leaders of the century. If Ukraine loses, he's remembered as a tragic hero.
10-second trivia. Which of these nations is the most populated nation on the African continent? Ethiopia, Nigeria, Egypt, or South Africa? Nigeria, with around 220 million people, is the most populated country in Africa. And up next, we're headed to Nigeria. The country is Africa's largest democracy, and its people are voting to elect their next president and vice president. The election comes at a time when two-thirds of the population are living in poverty, and almost half of the young people are unemployed. The value of the currency there is low, while inflation is high, and violence and terrorism have reshaped everyday life across the nation. We'll hear now from CNN international correspondent Larry Madowo as Nigerians are making their voices heard in one of the country's most competitive and unpredictable elections in quite some time.
Polls are now closed nationwide in Nigeria's tightest election ever. And what happens now is the slow, painstaking process of counting the vote. What do you have back there is they hold up a ballot one by one. Everybody watching has to agree that that's the person that they voted for. And so that will take a while, which is why we can't predict exactly when the result will be known. The Independent National Electoral Commission says they will do it speedily. It might be a couple of days until we know. There were a few reported instances of violence in parts of Lagos and other parts of the country, but these are isolated. It's not a pattern that we can see, at least apparently. There were also at least 200 polling stations where voting didn't take place because of insecurity. Insecurity has been a major issue for voters in this election. But the election is taking part on the backdrop of a major fuel and cash shortage. It's led to some chaotic scenes at gas stations and at banks. And now, whoever becomes the next president of Nigeria has to deal with an economy on the verge of crumbling. There are 18 people running, but only 3 men have a realistic chance of becoming the next president of Africa's most populous nation. Nigerian election is a massive logistical nightmare. 93 million registered voters is more than the next 14 West African nations combined. So it's sort of like organizing an election for an entire subcontinent in just one day. And that's why at this location, for instance, and 2 of the polling stations, there were no votes happening, and they don't understand why. But people we spoke to told us that we wait for as long as it takes because they want to make a statement in this election.
All right, sports fans, take me out to the ball game. Just don't make me stay all day. New rules in Major League Baseball aimed at speeding up the game are taking spring training by storm. MLB is implementing a pitch clock, sort of like a shot clock in basketball. Pitchers and batters, they can't take their good old time anymore. Just 15 seconds between pitches with empty bases, 20 seconds when there are runners on base. If pitchers don't get the pitch off in time, it counts as a ball for the batter. But the rule also states that if the batter isn't ready by 8 seconds left, well, like the Padres' Manny Machado found out, they're going to get a strike called against him. Well, with this new rule, we're seeing spring training games finishing around 25 to 30 minutes faster than last year's average of 3 hours and 3 minutes. We've seen some games that finished an hour faster. Now, some other big rule changes this season. Pitchers can only attempt 2 pickoff throws per at-bat. The size of the bases is increasing from 15 square inches to 18, and defenses can no longer shift their infielders. Players have about a month to retrain their brains before the season. Opening day is March 30th. For today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, a 2-month-old baby that already weighs 50 pounds. Meet Petunia, a 2-month-old baby hippopotamus at the Metro Richmond Zoo in Virginia. And not just any hippo, Petunia and her mama Iris are pygmy hippos. And there are fewer than 2,500 mature pygmy hippos remaining in the world. So with each step and with each splash in the pool, Petunia is keeping hope for these hippos alive. All right, time's almost up for today, but for all my goal-getters out there, one more thing. Remember, complacency is the constant enemy, so outwork everyone every single day. Shout out to West Lauderdale High School in Collinsville, Mississippi. Go Knights! We hope you and everyone watching around the world have a wonderful one. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.